Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Toucher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Stop.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, things change. You know, guys go from not being experienced to experienced, and we all have a lot of things along the way that happen to us, and we all learn from them, so it's always evolving.
He alluded to in the documentary that he did of a feeling of being conflicted.
Yeah. You know, I've had direct conversations with Tom, I mean, many times, obviously, through a long period of time, and you know, I'll rely on those conversations that I have with him directly rather than something else. So, you know, Tom and I have always had a good line of communication. We've always been able to talk directly with each other. I don't see that changing. So I'll rely on those instead of anything else.
That is Bill Belichick at the owner's meeting. And you actually hear the smile on his face. He's talking to Tommy Kern. He's in a good mood yesterday. Didn't say a whole lot,
but Just joshing around, having a good time.
With the old press. It's Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones filling in for Fred in the Town Fair Tire Studios. We're simulcasting NBC Sports Boston, and a lot of questions about the Patriots right now, not just the ones involving Gronk and involving the relationship between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and the whole Malcolm Butler thing is still there, and I'll never not be fascinated by what happened at the Super Bowl. But there's also new news as far as how the Giants view Odell Beckham Jr. The ownership yesterday or this weekend made a statement basically saying that anything's possible when it comes to the future of Odell Beckham Jr. with that team. I think his exact phrase was, when you finish 3-13, there's nobody that's off limits. And then, of course, the video came out earlier this month of Odell Beckham Jr. And he was sitting next to a woman in a bed, and on the bed was a, looked like a tray full of cocaine being cut up. It was a white powdery substance. It may or may not have been cocaine, but it was being chopped up with a credit card. And there's rumors that they've had enough, and it sounds like Odell Beckham Jr. has had enough as well, and he has, I guess this morning it's been reported, refuses to work out for any team, any OTAs, until he gets some sort of extension anywhere, whether he's traded or not. But with us right now to talk a little bit about Odell Beckham Jr. and whether or not maybe he's got a future with the Patriots, Don Banks, we've had on before, contributing writer for Patriots.com and The Athletic. He is in Orlando right now at the owner's meeting. Hey, thanks for coming on with us, Don. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm good to be with you. So you're making the jump all the way to New England already.
Yes, all the way, baby.
Yes,
because
that's what we do, Don.
Anytime there is a world player that there's some sort of issue,
this Patriots can solve all his problems.
You know what Patriots fans do. But and you know what? And to be quite honest, there was a pretty good article that Jeff Howe, he wrote, and it was about how realistic it could possibly be if the Patriots wanted to make a trade. And he talked about Brandon Cooks, how their contracts match up. Just take us out of fantasy land if we need to be, or snap us into reality if there is a chance.
Well, my caveat would be everything in the way of a standoff talk in March is, I take it with a grain of salt. It's a long way to go till we get to football season. However, I do think we're headed for a real showdown between the Giants and Beckham. I think, it's interesting. Mara kind of laid through the gauntlet down yesterday and talked tough and said, you know, the kind of things we've heard from owners before, no one's untouchable, you know, he's got to clean up his act. Just last month, Dave Gettleman, the new Giants general manager, said the slate is wiped clean, we're starting fresh. Basically, I have no institutional memory of anything that Beckham has done in the way of a distraction for the team and an embarrassment for the team. So I think there's a little bit of lack of consistency there, just because Mara has apparently not lost his memory on that front and does remember the other instances where Beckett has tried their patience. I think we're headed for a showdown. I believe that Beckham is going to try to put a stake in the ground and say new contract or nothing. He thinks he's been underpaid. I just think he loses a little leverage because of the way last year went down. I suppose if a trade market really does materialize, New England is certainly going to be there to kick the tires on an elite player. But it's a different situation. It's not Randy Moss coming out of Oakland, where he clearly has lost value and wants to rehab his career. So I suppose the long shot is New England would be involved in any trade of a player of that level to investigate. And I don't think it would be a miracle to get him in under their cap. But I do think at this point, the story is primarily Odell versus the Giants, and who might blink first on that front.
Where is Odell Beckham on the malcontent scale? Like how bad are we talking?
I don't think he's as bad as the image, but I do think there's been a series of small embarrassments to the Giants. Mara's, you know, he blows a little hot and cold, but he's very sensitive to the embarrassment factor of the franchise. I want to kind of hear from Gettleman, to be quite honest. Gettleman has obviously had a track record of trading players out of Carolina. Josh Norman comes quickly to mind, you know, that he didn't feel like was part of the program. If Gettleman starts talking the way Maris talked yesterday, I think it's going to ratchet it up to a new level.
Is Beckham immature, crazy, or both?
I think he's a little immature, and I think he's just a little self-absorbed. And I don't think he, you know, I don't think he thinks through every situation he's in and surrounds himself with people that are going to burnish his image. In some cases, I think he does what he wants to do and worries about the ramifications later.
Do you believe that he would act the same way that he did with the Giants if he was in the Patriots locker room, or is there that whole mystique of the Patriot way, something that would form him into at least a good soldier for a year?
No, well, historically there has been. I kind of became convinced on that front as far back as Corey Dillon. When Corey Dillon wasn't the same Corey Dillon that he was in Cincinnati, that's when I started buying that was a real factor. So I guess I'd have to say yes until proven wrong.
All right, so there's some other stuff that came out yesterday with Belichick, and you know he spoke to you guys down in Orlando, and the first one, let's talk about what he said about Malcolm Butler, because that's, once again, the mystery that I'm never going to get sick of. I'll always want an answer to. I still don't understand why it happened, and there's so many different theories and things. Did you learn anything yesterday from what he said, or is there anything in the past several weeks since free agency and Butler getting signed? Do you have a theory one way or the other because of the information you've learned since then?
No, not a theory that hasn't been espoused otherwise. I got the sense, just from listening and trying to parse what Belichick said yesterday, and he didn't shed any real new light on it, obviously, that once Butler came out when he joined the Titans and he said what he said and he kind of took part of the onus on him for his lack of preparation and focus, 100% focus in the week before the game, I felt like Belichick was saying yesterday that he concurs with that by being nothing but respectful about Butler and thanking him basically for how hard he competed and saying we wish him well. He didn't break any new ground, but I think he was basically saying, yeah, I agree with that. I it's good that he stepped up and took some of it on himself. But I don't think we'll ever, I mean, that's the big mystery. And I don't, the first guy that, really, the first person that comes out with a plausible explanation for that that has more there than what we know now is going to have a heck of a story.
You mentioned that there wasn't a lot of new ground broken on Malcolm Butler. I don't really think Bill broke much new ground either on Brady and Rob Gronkowski. He was asked about them as well. Is there a little we can do reading between the lines, though, on Bill Belichick on some of the things he didn't say? Like, in other words, he could have easily shot down any tension he has with Brady. He could have easily shot down Gronk and his health and his contract, and he didn't really do either.
Yeah, you know, we were obviously waiting and kind of talking amongst ourselves and wondering if he had something to kind of get off his chest, because, in essence, he called this little gathering, which we all know how much he hates doing the coach's breakfast, and he kind of let it be known that let's talk to the local Boston media beforehand, as he called it. It's a free for all on Tuesday morning. So he started with kind of a preamble. He just kind of went through the chronology of the off season, starting with the McDaniel stuff because it came first as soon as they got back from Minneapolis. I thought he was, in a strange way, I thought he was sending the signal that he's recharged. He's looking forward to the season. He kept talking about how excited he was about the team building process. He doesn't talk directly, but if we're in the business of trying to parse what the message was I ain't walking away or losing my zest for this job anytime soon. He was relaxed. You know, he didn't want to go where he didn't want to go, and he wasn't going to let us take him there. But that's nothing new for the last 18 years. So that was kind of my takeaway, that this didn't sound like a coach who had lost his fire or desire for the job. He wants to get back to the, you know, scaling the mountain once again.
You know, there was a theory that has been floating around, and maybe it's just because of the way he came across in the article, that Bill, or at least someone very close to him, was one of the people who leaked a lot of the information in the Seth Wickersham article. Do you get that feeling at all when you speak with him or you see how he's acted since it's come out? Do you think he had anything to do with the leaking of some of that info?
Wouldn't shock me. That I've heard the same thing. I believe that that some of the information probably came from someone in his camp. Some. How much? I don't know.
What do you think he was trying to accomplish, or those people were trying to accomplish by leaking that info?
I don't have a good theory on that, other than perhaps he wanted to show that it was a challenging season that was a little unlike any other recent Patriots season, and he felt like he was maybe doing some of his best work in getting them to the cusp of another ring. I don't know exactly what his agenda was, if someone close to him was part of that story. Maybe just an appreciation. Look, we've done all this, we've gone this long, you've never really heard a peep about what really goes on and what we're really dealing with here, and it's been a jigsaw puzzle this year.
All right, well, Don, appreciate you coming on. He's a contributing writer for Patriots.com and The Athletic. He's covering the team in Orlando right now. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Do you have a theory on why Bill, if Bill were the source of it and Don didn't shoot that down, do you have a theory on why?
I think he's sick of the Guerrero situation and wants to go away.
Okay, so Guerrero is a good one. I was going to say Garoppolo has to be a big factor in all of that too, right? Like Garoppolo is looking amazing. He's playing at a high level. He continues to win. Bill got pennies on the dollar for him, if that. And this is kind of a way to set it straight a little bit. Like, hey.
Because he didn't want to do it. It's not on me.
Wasn't totally my call. Brady didn't like him. The owner sided with Brady. Like, it feels like that. I mean, I agree. The Guerrero stuff, I think, you know, he probably wanted to get that out there as well.
I think it's the genesis of all of it. Like, I think that was at the core of all of it. If you could look to where all of this stress started, it seems to be the difficulty of having to deal with players. You want them to deal with them in one way, and then you've got somebody else trying to deal with them in a different way. And he's
multiple
like,
players.
Who's in charge
here? Not just Brady. Yep. Like, Brady was one thing.
Yep.
Now multiple players. I mean, I agree for this year, sure. I mean, the Garoppolo stuff goes back further than that, but yeah, for this year, sure.
And he's torn because I think truly does like Brady and respect him, and B, realizes how important he is to the success of this team, but also doesn't want Guerrero to have anything to do with the way he runs the organization. And it just seems like when that article came out, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, man, this makes everyone but Bill Belichick look bad. So what does that immediately make you think? Someone from Bill Belichick's camp probably had something to do with it. But now it seems like even people close to the team and writers are kind of feeling the same deal. And I'm wondering if now, after it's come out, he's acting in a way that kind of is, you know, almost proud of how things have gone down. Like, there's a different air to the way he acts. I mean, yesterday, the way he called a meeting, I thought that was interesting. He seems like in a little bit of a better mood, despite, like, you know, losing.
Normally he's shoving everyone's recorder to start
well, it's the famous orange
the
juice. Yeah, it's the famous orange juice picture where he just don't want anything to do with it. So, yeah, I mean, I still find it interesting. I mean, that part of it is, it's an ongoing story, and it's going to continue, and we're going to see how it affects the offseason, and the whole Gronkowski thing is still there, and the whole Brady situation, the way that last episode ended, and, you know, how he was conflicted. It's odd. I'm just not used to it. It's like what's going on with the Spurs. You know, two organizations that usually are the pinnacle of just zip your lip, and this is how it's done, and now both of them, there's, like, these cracks, and I'm not used to it, and it's odd, and I'm kind of enthralled by it.
Yes.
You know? it's fair. Yes. Any info I can get, it's just so strange that I'm fascinated. All right, 617-779-0985.
Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos.
Here we go. It's too good time. 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 It's too good time.
I'm going to be so hungover at work tomorrow. I'm not going to do anything.
Now, food will start to walk it ahead. Watched by a couple of Wild players.
Slowly, he'll bank it on left wing for Marchand. Has a step on Dumba, left circle, shoots, he scores! He's magic in overtime. Brad Marchand with a laser low just inside the far post. That's your game winner. 2-1 Bruins in overtime over the Wild.
He's an elite player, so we expect him to get his looks every night because he's hard on the puck and a heck of a competitor, so it doesn't surprise me. Again, he was hard on it tonight. Had a little bit of tough luck, I thought, in the power play around the net. And took a chance to score, but their line was very good again tonight.
98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and the Bruins just keep winning. They find ways to win. Brad Marchand, automatic in overtime. That is his fifth overtime winner of the season. That ties a record. And on top of that, the team's getting healthier, and Tuukka's playing great. Honestly, what more do you need to see from this team to realize that this is everything is trending in the right direction?
Well, Tuukka, and you said this, you know, way back when in the 6 o'clock hour, and it's a great point. Like, Marchand getting a game winner should have surprised no one last night, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's an overtime or at any other point. Even the Friday night win. And it was kind of crazy how it all played out. Yeah. They're down 2 goals. They're on the road. They look dead. Marchand wakes up in the third period. Pastrnak gets the game winner with 12 seconds left. Like, we have seen that story before with the Bruins. It's been a while since Tuukka's really been locked in.
Yeah.
You know, not to say he hasn't done it this year, but, you know, it was kind of that December, January stretch of the year where he locked in, especially December, when he was unconscious after he got benched. He's kind of been questioned a little bit lately by people, including myself. He hadn't played great. And then he stops 40 on Friday night in Dallas. He's pretty good again last night mm-hmm. in their win. It's like him waking up would kind of be that last piece that you've been waiting for with this team.
That's exactly right. And we talked to Joe Haggerty today, and everything's lining up for almost all of the guys who are injured to be back at some point for the playoffs. Charlie McAvoy's skating already, and they're saying that he's going to be back with about 2 games left before the postseason. Chara is skating.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Chara like by the end of the week, sounds like.
It does sound like that. Like, he's going to be back sooner than later. And then you've got Backes, who seems to be on the right track. The only guy that there's still a big question mark out
DeBrusque.
DeBrusque
and Nash, I think, are the two.
Yeah. Nash, there's like radio silence. We don't know a lot that's going on. But according to Joe Haggerty and other people, despite all of that, there's a feeling that he's going to be back for the playoffs as well.
I think the feeling is they're holding, much like they did with Bergeron, they're holding a lot of these guys out simply because they can. They're not battling for a playoff spot.
Which
they want you, I mean, they want to make sure they hit the ground running when it matters.
Does anyone have a problem with that?
No.
No. This is, once again, things are lining up.
Yeah, like nobody wants them to push it to pass Tampa and potentially rush guys back, right?
Nobody cares. Nobody wants the President's Trophy. Yeah. This is something that if that's truly what they're doing, and if they had to, like if the playoffs started today and Nash could come back and all these guys could back, they would be back. But they're not. They're letting them rest. They're at a good point. They're at a good place where they are. And when you look at the X factors for how well they're going to do in the playoffs, Tuukka Rask is obviously the number one. The number two is the health. And right now, what Brad Marchand and that line, I tell you what, that line is ridiculous. Did you see that no-look pass at Bergeron?
Yes.
Man, I mean, his first game back, the guy is incredible on faceoffs. Looks like he has not missed a beat. He has that assist. And on top of that, Torrey Krug on his first game back had that, you know, the game-winner assist. I mean, he was amazing. So I don't know what more you can look at when you look at their competition against Tampa Bay Lightning this year. They've looked superior in both games. Now, I know Tampa Bay was a little shorthanded the first time, but the second time the Bruins were shorthanded, and they blanked them. And then you look at what's going on with the rest of the league. I don't buy the Golden Knights. You know, if you look at the other conference, I think everyone thinks it's a great story, but everyone's waiting for that house of cards to fall down. Obviously, the Jack Adams Award is going to go to their coach. I don't even know the guy's name.
Who's Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, he's going to win it. I mean, what he's done with a bunch of nobodies is
if you look in the Western Conference, there's one team, and it's Nashville. Nashville has been
superior. You don't believe in Winnipeg?
I was going to say, Winnipeg's good, too.
Yeah. Winnipeg's done very well recently.
They're sneaky good.
I'm a Nashville guy. I mean, they made the finals last year. I mean, they are for real.
I made a decision yesterday. If for some reason the Bruins make it to the finals, I'm going to Nashville. I'm going to go down there.
Oh, I would do that, too, if I was you.
I'm going to do it. Without a doubt. First of all, games in Nashville, despite what Fred says, I know he hates it because they throw catfish onto the ice, and he's, you know, a Detroit purist, and he likes the octopus on the ice and thinks it's a ripoff. Games in Nashville are insane. That is one of the most fun arenas in the country to go to.
Have you actually been?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have?
I've been to a Predators game. That's one of those. It fascinates
me. Terrible goal song.
It might be the worst in the league. See if you can pull it up. We have it in there. So I think it's under goal dash something. Or you might have it there, Walt.
I'll see what I can do.
It's Tim McGraw. And so when they score a goal, it's like a modified one of his own songs, you know, that I like it, I love it, I want some more hockey.
Oh, nice, yeah.
It's like they don't even really try it. I'm scoring goals all day. It's like so embarrassingly bad, but it doesn't matter because people lose their minds in Nashville over hockey.
Huh.
And maybe it's just because, you know, there's no baseball team. I mean, you know, it's obviously not going on at the same time. If it's during the playoffs, it's the football team. They freaking love their hockey. And I remember there was a guy who worked for the Bruins who once told me, before Vegas came in, I was like, is Vegas going to be the best home ice advantage in the league? And he goes, it might be. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what it is right now. He said, it's Nashville. Because all these teams show up and these Canadian guys look around and see these young Southern girls and they're
like,
obsessed with hockey players. They love the accents and they're out on Broadway all night because that arena is right there at the top of the street. And after that, it's bachelorette parties. It's,
all right.
Hey. So, I mean, it is the place to be. And these young Canadians show up and they're like, oh, I'm staying out all night.
So the morning show and the night show are going to go to Nashville for an NHL. Good. For a cup final.
I'm going to go.
And Jones just included himself.
Yep, I heard the night show is going too. I think that's what I heard. Yeah.
Does Beasley have a studio down there?
I don't know.
Let's do the show from there.
I think we should check that out.
Dude, Nashville rules.
Fine.
Like to go there for like a weekend,
yeah.
It's one of the more fun, underrated towns to go to. One of a great drinking town, great food town. It's and you can do it all within like a 4 to 5 block radius.
Yeah.
Like all right in that area.
And have the series go like 6 or 7 games and have to go there twice. Fantastic.
Hell yeah. I'm only going once, though. I mean, I'm going to go to a game. I mean, I'm not a Monopoly guy.
Oh, but okay.
Either way.
Right.
We just got signed with Beasley.
Beasley has a station in Nashville?
Let's do it. Absolutely. All right, let's go to Alex. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going? You guys just hit on all the points, that I want to talk about. But Raf, the decor is depleted at this point. I mean, not depleted. Don did a lot of good moves, but... you lose Berge, you lose Chara. These guys, Rask isn't really to blame for his last 9 games. I mean, he's 8-9-0-1. But
I'm not going to kill Rask. There's a lot of people who will kill Rask, but as of late, I mean, you're right. He hasn't had a ton of people in front. I mean, he's been missing a ton of guys for a while.
There are a bunch of 4 and 5 goal games in there, though. You know, and not that you put every goal on him, but there were a bunch. His play had dropped off. I don't even see how that's arguable.
The thing is that Cassidy understands this, and they're playing to win games with a lot of goals. He even said this. He doesn't care if they win 7-5. Anyway, that Marchand goal, he was full stride, 5 strides in.
Yeah, I know.
That pass from Krug.
It was great.
My pants were off after that.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was a pants off, dance off. It's almost like he's like falling on his left foot. He's like on his left foot. I mean, it was awesome.
We've had all timers.
It was great.
Man.
I mean, he's a wizard. I mean, he's the overtime wizard. Marchand, the magical overtime wizard. The dude is, it's automatic. And like, you can't count this team out. We've said this over and over and over, but my God. That game a couple weeks ago where they came back.
Was that the one Joe was talking about? Yeah.
Well, that was the game that made Joe say that he believes they're winning the cup. Which, by the way, you can yell at Haggerty if they don't. Just yell at him a lot.
Because they beat the Hurricanes.
Listen to you, Jones. Now the sports vulture is here.
Well,
that's impressive against anyone.
That was the threshold for me. I wanted to see if they could beat Carolina before I picked them to win the cup.
But that there happened, like, didn't that happen right. like right after... They blanked Tampa Bay?
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was an unbelievable game. I just don't know that that's the one where I would say I'm not going to pick him to win it.
Kept it under wraps.
Hey, they beat the Hurricanes.
All right, we got a break. Let's take some of these calls. 617-779-0985. The Sports Vulture is indeed here.
Yeah.
Here's John Wallach's headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
You know, Dan makes a great point in the other room. That's even a bad edit of the line that they took out and put in a new one.
Yeah.
It's almost like one was done with like a certain type of compression when Tim McGraw was having a good day, and the other one was just like, all right, I'll sing that damn line for you.
Fine, I'll mail it in.
I don't know what it is about the Predators scoring. What's nuts, too, about that, Touch and Rich, 95 Sports Hub. We're talking about if for some reason there was a potential, and it looks like this is something that could happen, a Bruins and Predators Stanley Cup final, that I'm going out of Nashville, without a doubt, to see a game. I mean, without a doubt. It's one of the best arenas I've ever seen a game in, as far as hockey is concerned.
Right, and Beasley sending the night show. We found that out, so that'll be good.
That's right, so Beasley will be sending you guys as well.
Yep.
But it's a huge party environment, and outside, it's like bachelorette parties and bachelor parties, but it's like, you know, the whole area is all these great bars, and you know, the women are all out having a great time. But inside, it's kind of nuts. And people in Nashville know their hockey, too. It's not just one of these towns. I'm still amazed that Atlanta had a team and it didn't work and no one was showing up.
Twice they lost a team.
Yet 3 hours up the road, Nashville kills it. They sell out every single game. Even before they were this team that they are now, they were selling out every game. It's because a lot of the car manufacturing plants were moved down near Nashville. So all these people from up north, like Detroit and stuff, were moving.
Built-in fan base.
Yeah, it's like a built-in fan base. So you immediately had people who loved hockey and know hockey. Believe it or not, it's a great hockey town. But they kind of went overboard. There's like a live band that plays on a stage that overlooks the rink between periods. Like, they have a live, like, country band that ends up playing between periods, which is a little too much for me. I kind of like it a little more old school, but it doesn't mean that the crowd gets a little nutty and the people drink a little bit more, and it's a sloshy place, man, and it's pretty damn fun.
That sounds like a good description, actually. It's a sloshy place.
And I don't mind one bit. Right. Pete, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
So, Rich, you are 1,000% correct. Went to Nashville for the first time in February. We had low expectations, thought it was just going to be a hick show, and that place is off the hook.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. It's the bachelorette capital of the America. There are more bachelorette parties happen there than in Vegas. It's just nothing. Like, any weekend you can go, and it's just a great party. And it's not just all, you know, country music and all that stuff. We went to this hip hotel. Like, Noel Gallagher was in the lobby. All these rooftop decks that they have there. Nashville is incredibly fun.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about booking a ticket myself.
It's great. It's one of the more underrated cities in the country to just go for a weekend and just have a great time.
Two things. Patriots are in.
They
visit Tennessee this year,
yeah,
so that's one trip to make. And isn't that where Rex and Rob Ryan got in trouble?
Ooh,
Nashville?
That sounds right.
Was
yes.
I thought that was at a bar in Nashville.
That sounds right.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. It was? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go.
Bird gave us a thumbs up.
Okay.
That's
got to
be true. Yeah,
so you got that. Right, and if you've never been to the stadium, I don't even know the name of Titan Stadium. I forget. But it's right across the river from where Broadway is.
Yeah.
Like, if you're walking down Broadway, you got where the Predators play, and you walk out the door, and then walking towards the river is where all the bars and the honky-tonks and everything are. And then you see the river, and right across it, that is where. You got to go over a bridge. So you could essentially bar hop before
downtown,
the game, stay downtown,
walk
do
over.
All that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's great, and that's the one place. And is it Jim Murray who does one away game every year?
Yeah,
you got to go to Nashville.
That was we did New Orleans last year, and we thought it was great. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know about going to Nashville.
I don't know
this year.
What weekend is, but I mean, like, I'm looking.
Schedule's not out yet.
Well, that's right. I'm looking at the team, but they do have who's playing.
Yeah,
where.
Sure. Like the opponent's home and away. Yeah.
You don't want to go to Jacksonville. Pittsburgh's all right.
Jacksonville's got that pool.
Okay.
What a stadium.
There you go. Woo! Shad Khan's got it going on down there. And then you've got, you know, the Jets. Who cares about that? Detroit, nobody wants to go there. Then you got the Bears. That's going to be hell on earth because it's going to be the frozen tundra. Yeah. It's going to be the Hoth. It's going to be Hoth out there, I'm sure, if it's later on in the season. Miami's just going to be... Miami will be a fun weekend, but that place is depressing. The Bills...
You can go there every year.
I want to go to a Bills game. I still want to go to a Bills game.
Yeah.
Every year you can go there. But I'm talking, if you're to choose one game to go to...
In Nashville.
I mean, the Jets and the Dolphins and the there's no rush necessarily because you can always do that.
Although there's kind of a rush for me to go to a Bills game. Now that I just know everything about those guys slamming themselves through tables and setting themselves on fire.
But there's it's not like the Bills are going anywhere.
Sure.
They'll be playing there next year. They'll be playing there in 5 years.
Right. This is like, you know,
years.
This is like a cycle. Like,
yeah,
it's
going
to be a while till they end up playing in Nashville again. You got to go to Nashville. And, and to see Bruins fans ripping up Broadway, if there was a Stanley Cup final, would be a glorious sight.
So Dan O'Brien mentioned, what if Vegas, not that either you or I believe in them, but what if Vegas gets to the Cup finals?
You see, Vegas
Rich will be first in line.
Man,
yes, yes, you would.
Vegas is
absolutely
different.
You would.
Here's another reason why Vegas is different. Vegas is, it's a pretty long trip, and it's 3 hours behind us. Nashville's only one.
So?
Yeah, I'd want to go to that.
Yeah,
too.
You would.
I don't want to go to Winnipeg.
I was going
to
say,
that
might be,
no.
The big winner
wants to go to Winnipeg.
I'm thinking of all like the contenders in the West if the Bruins end up making it, and Winnipeg might be the...
Well, they got all... You saw this story earlier in the year. They got all butthurt that, like, a team got there and complained about how crappy Winnipeg is, and, like, the whole city, like, got all up in arms about, oh, well, we have nice restaurants.
Okay, yeah, okay.
We have nice bars. It's like,
okay, you know the kids in the hall, right?
Everybody does. Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, we had them in studio once, and a couple of those guys are from Winnipeg, and he goes, you don't even understand how cold it gets there. He goes, it's so cold that it's against the law to cross the street without... during the winter, it's against the law to cross certain streets because people can freeze to death just trying to cross one of our roads. He goes, there's certain intersections you can't cross.
That's a joke?
No, it wasn't a joke. He was being serious, and I looked it up, and sure enough, in Winnipeg, just like in parts of Montreal, they put tunnels underneath the major intersections because it's almost cruel to keep people standing there waiting for a walk signal while it's minus 30 degrees with the wind chill.
All right,
so that's how much it sucks to be in Winnipeg the winter.
Don't send the night show to Winnipeg.
If you go to Vegas, you can have Ghost Goes to the Movies, Ghost Goes to the Cup.
Well,
fantastic.
That would be the best. I mean, if Gosher, we could hang out with Gosher and...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that'd be awesome. So, I mean, honestly, Bruins, come on. So the bottom line is, make it to the finals. Because right now, you got a good chance. Two of the best teams right now.
Sure.
Vegas. Pretty damn fun places to go
Vegas,
for a road trip.
Yeah. Nashville? Winnipeg.
I've done Vegas a lot. Nashville still really excites me. Like, Nashville's still, like, a ton of fun. Vegas is fun, but I don't know.
Winnipeg in June.
I'm sure it's beautiful. I'm sure it's a beautiful sight. All right. We will find out what is going on with Zolak and Bertrand. I believe they are both here today. Are they both back? Okay. They're back. We'll find out what they got going on in just a couple minutes.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
985 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com. I recommend everyone go to this. It's actually a great charity. I know some people who have been heavily involved in it, and they do great work, despite some of the stuff that you may have read and some of those weird articles that came out. It's an excellent charity, and... June 1st and 2nd, TeamTomBrady.com for the Best Buddies Challenge. I watched some excellent TV, and like I caught up on kind of everything this weekend. First of all, I finally got to see that Three Billboards out of Ebbing, Missouri. Have you seen that?
No, I definitely haven't, but I know what you're talking
about. It's a love-hate movie. Loved it. Loved it. Vulgar as hell, but I think a reason a lot of people had a problem with it was because of the over-the-top language and people saying nobody talks like that. Trust me, I grew up in a place very similar to the people in this movie. They speak like that. So it was like, all right, well, that reminds me of fourth grade, a guy I knew in seventh grade. So that is, I liked it. It's weird. I mean, it's very well done. Good. Another thing is,
well, why did you have all this time to catch up?
Because I was back in town, and I just, like, you know, there was, the March Madness stuff's been interesting, but I would watch a little bit of it and turn it off.
Yeah, you're not, like, glued to it.
No, I'm not glued to it. Then I watched a show that people have been telling me to watch for years, and I love when this happens, when a show that has got, like, four seasons worth, you finally get on and you realize how great it is Black Mirror. You guys watch Black Mirror at all?
No.
Oh, it is unbelievable. It's like the Twilight Zone in that every episode's a completely different thing. You can literally jump season 3, episode 6 and watch that first, and it doesn't matter. Nothing's tied together. It's just a show it's actually from, I think it's from Great Britain, and it's on Netflix now. And each episode is about some way that should freak you out having to do with technology and how technology is kind of screwing up our lives, and
okay,
which is right in my wheelhouse.
Hold on, I was just going to say, hold on,
it's like a
second.
Real life Facebook nightmare.
Yeah. I'm kind of a sadist this way.
Hold on, I've kind of dove down this rich wormhole before,
yeah,
and it's been really, really weird.
Okay,
your tolerance for this kind of stuff is a little bit different than most normal people's tolerance.
Understood,
for this kind of stuff,
but it's different. It's different than just like, hey, they have all your information. Like, there's one episode that everyone told me about, and I watched 3 episodes. There's one where the whole plot is that that the prime minister is woken up one morning and he finds out that the princess has been kidnapped. And there is a ransom video that's been made saying that we will release your princess if at 4 o'clock today you live stream yourself having relations with a pig. And so they're trying to trace where this thing is coming from, and they keep thinking that they've got him, but they can't because he's this crazy, like, cyber hacker, and he's running all around town, and slowly but surely it's getting closer to 4 o'clock, and the whole world now knows about it, right. And they're watching for this live stream.
You're
not going to spoil it out.
You got to find a pig.
Which, by the way, was a good episode, but there's one episode called San Junipero that is amongst the best hours of television that I've ever watched.
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, okay. Without a doubt. Yes, and it definitely feeds into my tinfoil hat.
Honest
paranoia, but it is one of the best shows on TV.
Watch Twin Peaks. I'm telling you, it's really, really good.
I never told anyone to watch Twin Peaks.
Really? No, you'll like it. It's good.
Did I ever say those words?
What did I text you in the middle of it?
Did I ever say watch Twin Peaks?
What did I text you in the middle of watching that episode?
I've never recommended anyone to watch it. It's one of my favorite shows. I've never told anyone to ever watch that show.
Okay.
Ever.
All right.
Because I know it's so effed up that no one else would like it.
I'm just saying.
Except for me.
You tend to skew a certain way.
That show was made for me and my stupid meow wolf going acid hallucination. That's what it's made for. I like getting freaked out on like a really
yes,
over the top level.
Yes, you do.
So Black Mirror is perfect.
Right.
It's one of the best shows. It's one of the best new shows. Not new. It's been out since 2011. But for me, it's new. Black Mirror. I can't recommend it anymore. San Junipero. That episode's one of the best hours of TV that I've watched. So there you go. What is happening, Scott Zolak?
Hi.
Hi. What's
up? How you guys doing?
Oh,
Jones.
Talking
dark
sports.
Night. Nice.
Yeah. Bright and early.
You into the Sister Jean thing?
What?
Are you into the Sister Jean thing?
Am I into it? No.
Not into her. But
no,
like,
but I didn't want to say if I am or if I'm not. But I've been rooting against her ever
it's
since.
It's running its course, right?
Yeah, well, just she didn't even pick him anymore.
Shut your mouth.
Don't you dare
say a bad thing about Sister Jean.
No. She didn't even pick
She is a delight.
She didn't even pick
the Oh, God, I love the fact Portnoy went to Michigan, and now it's like Portnoy versus Miss Sister Jean.
Yeah. Well, don't you dare say a bad thing about her.
Everybody said it, all these gifs or gifs of like their heads shrunk on each other, him knocking down old women.
He went all
Hashtag Zolak hates Sister Jean.
No, I don't. Hashtag Dave fears her now. Like it's going to mess with his mind, which is great.
Yeah, she is an absolute delight, and you can't get enough of her. Just keep putting more of her on TV.
Just kind of wish she picked Loyola.
Well, yeah.
The last couple rounds.
Well, you know what was great was the fact that
she gave up losing for Lent.
I guess she did.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Mess with Jesus now, dude.
The best thing is that the Stormy Daniels interview is supposed to start at 7 o'clock, and of course that Duke Kansas game went into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So like a record audience got to watch Duke lose, which I thought was just amazing. Because every time Duke loses, an angel earns his wings.
Especially Grayson Allen.
I don't have as much of a problem with Grayson Allen anymore as I used to. Like, I think that he's, you know, everyone screws up and everyone does dumb things. But Duke, I'll forever hate. I'll forever think that they're the biggest bunch of douchebags.
Why?
So God bless. Well, first of all, I went to Georgia Tech. So,
And Duke wins every year.
But I don't hate Duke.
They
almost went to Duke.
I was just going to say, you were recruited by Duke?
Yeah, they were my final five.
Who were your final five? Duke, Maryland, and who else?
Duke, Maryland, Miami, Louisville, and West Virginia.
Well, I would have paid for you to go West Virginia.
Wait, didn't you just tell us, how did Louisville recruit you? It was very different than how Rick Pitino recruits
us. No, Lady Birds were in effect then, too.
Oh, yeah?
Scared the hell out of me. I can't go there. They brought me in on a private jet, which I don't know. That was different. Schnellenberger first went there before he left Miami. So he was like first-year guy at Louisville, and he brought me in. It was different than the other recruits.
Okay.
Pretty much handed the keys. And I'm like, wow, I can't go here.
We all know about the Miami recruiting trip with you alone on a boat.
They showed you around with certain, they had people take you around campus, and it scares the hell out of you.
Huh.
Certain people?
They show you out at night. Yeah.
Certain
different
people.
Different types of people.
It's like your own.
Sure.
It's like your own.
Certainly just weren't a little.
Your own he got game.
Western Pennsylvania, little mining town.
Okay.
Still town kid. Wasn't used to.
Just give me any. Okay. What percent close? Like was it 50% or 80%? How close to it to Johnny B. Good was?
Oh, Louisville offered the most.
Okay.
Like we get off the plane. We get off a private jet and they had a band waiting. They had a band waiting at the thing.
Okay.
And they take you out and it killed the town. I told you, they took me to Churchill Downs for lunch.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't the Derby yet. But then we went in the back where they bred horses.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, 18. I'm putting a long sleeve on, you know, the plastic glove.
Yeah, this is what you said the other day.
In a 10-foot cup with a wooden 10-foot pole with a wooden cup at the end to catch something. when they put the horse up on the back of the stall. I'm like, what are we doing, man?
Why would they do that?
I don't want to come to school to go here. I want to come here and throw footballs.
No,
why would they do that? That feels like that must be how they land all their big recruits, I would imagine.
Yeah, Mazdas. I mean, whatever, you know, the Mazda 300 or RX-7 was just out. Like, whatever you want, man.
Right, man. So what are you guys going to talk about today other than
I don't know. I went to Foxwoods all weekend.
Did you? How was it? How'd you do?
Dude, I did that Highlander zipline, which is off the Fox Tower, which I think is 40 feet in the air.
Oh, they do it off the top of the tower?
We had to go up off the top of the tower, and there's this girder that hangs out over the hotel. And they strap you in. You got to step off, so you're looking down. And you got to step off the hotel to go out into the middle of the woods on the zip line.
Zero chance.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, I'm sure it's screaming. A great ride and whatever, but
I
not,
had a
not
phone
for me.
Ready to video, and I didn't let go of the straps, and I couldn't. I took my phone in. I'm like,
you had audio?
Oh, I don't have audio. No, but we're gonna go back. I'm not gonna. I will not do it again because I screamed like a schoolgirl the whole way. It was, but my two kids went down ahead of me, so I had to follow them down because you got to take a bus back from the middle of the woods.
Oh, man.
I mean,
you didn't get audio. That would have been awesome.
Dude, I mean, when I get up there, I'm like, and the wind's whipping, and it was chilly, and I'm like,
just get this done.
What are we doing?
About anything else other than survival.
What am I doing?
How long did it take?
3 minutes. It's a long ride.
That's a long
3 minutes
ride.
Of screaming is... Yeah,
just Google it. Highlander zipline in Fox. Right. It's disturbing.
I'll have to do that.
It's one of the greatest thrill rides I've ever been on. And I like thrill rides. I have a fear of heights now, I learned.
Oh, yeah?
After that, yeah.